ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text 46. Tasya niramantanat jataha jatavedaha vibhavasuhu traya saha vidyaya ragya putratve kalpitaha trivrit. Tasya, of Pururava, Niramantanat, because of interaction, Jataha, was born, Jatavedaha, meant for material enjoyment, according to the Vedic principles. Vibhavasuhu, a fire. Traya, following the Vedic principles. Saha, the fire. Vidyaya, by such a process. Ragya, by the king. Putratve, a son's being born. Kalpitaha, it so became. Trivrit, the three letters. A-U-M, combined together as OM. Translation: from Pururava's rubbing of the Aranis came a fire. By such a fire, one can achieve all success in material enjoyment and be purified in a seminal birth, initiation, and in the performance of sacrifice, which are invoked with the combined letters A-U-M. Thus the fire was considered the son of King Pururava. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to the Vedic process, one can get a son through semen, Shukra. One can get a bona fide disciple through initiation, Savitra. Or one can get a son or disciple through the fire sacrifice, Yajna. Thus, when Maharaj Pururava generated the fire by rubbing the Aranis, the fire became his son. Either by semen, by initiation, or by yajna, one may get a son. The Vedic mantra Om Kara or Pranava, consisting of the letters A, U, M, can call each of these three methods into existence. Therefore, the words nirmantanach jataha indicate that by the rubbing of the aranis, a son was born. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's in the first we can explain this arani. It is a special type of wood. Just by taking this wood and you rub it against each other, the sticks, then very quickly, very easily, it generates fire. And it is specifically used for fire sacrifices, the arani wood. In the fourth canto, Narada Muni instructs the Prachetas. We find a similar verse. There is also explained in that verse the three kinds of a birth. Again, by father and mother, Shaukra or Shukra, semen. Son is born, and by initiation, Guru initiates, and this is called by Savitra, it is called Savitra, and by Brahminical initiation, what we call the second initiation, and this is called Yakika or Yakika Janma, like second birth. So these three kinds of births are there. And in the purport to that verse in the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada explains that despite the opportunities for attaining such kind of birth, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, according to our earthly calculation, that's 10,000 years. Of course, the higher planetary systems, but those demigods we generally refer to, 10,000 years. So one might live for such a long lifespan and developing the qualities as described here by birth, the qualities by birth, still, if one does not engage in the devotional service of Lord Krishna, then everything is useless. We find so many different quotations to the effect that being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is the essential importance of a human life. One might even possess all the necessary qualities of a brahmana, being educated, study the Vedic scriptures, the Vedas, Sanskrit, everything. But again, If there's a lack of devotional service, everything is useless. So that's the most important, and we can see how Srila Prabhupada, how much he emphasized devotional service. He used to translate bhakti. Normally bhakti means devotion. That's the direct translation, bhakti, devotion. But Srila Prabhupada always translated it as devotional service. Something practical. To engage all the senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, the working senses in Krishna service. That is the most important. And we have many different verses related to the effect that one might take birth in the family of brahmanas, but unless one is engaged in devotional service and all these qualities, pyramidal qualities, one might acquire, they are of no importance. There's one verse we can quote: Chandalopi dvijashrishto hadi bhakti parayanaha. Again, hadi bhakti vihinascha. Na vihina. Vihina means no. Vihinascha. Not present. Na dvijapi svapacha dhamaha. This verse also explains that even one is born in the family of brahmanas, or in the beginning, chandalo, if one is born in the family of a dog eaters. Still, if one takes to the process of devotional service, then one is even higher, considered to be in a higher position than the brahmana. And as such a chandala, who became fully purified by the process of bhakti, devotional service, he cannot only liberate himself, but even all the so many generations of his forefathers, they're all being liberated. That's the power of bhakti, devotional service. Also, Prahlad Maharaj, he gives a sequence of verses to the same effect, always stressing the point that a birth doesn't matter. One might be born in a very low-class family, but as soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, devotional service, then life becomes perfect. As mentioned before, brahmanas are learned, educated. They study Sanskrit. They study the Vedas. This reminds us of one incident related to Adi Shankara, Shankaracharya. He composed one verse. Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted that verse. Bhajagovindam, 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 mudhamate, samprapti sanhiti kalinahi, nahi rakshati dukrin karane. This dukrin, in Sanskrit dukrin, refers to the suffixes and the prefixes in a Sanskrit grammar. Dukrin. So the Pandits, they study Sanskrit grammar. Srila Prabhupada once indicated, he explained, it takes about 12 years just to master the grammar, Sanskrit grammar, takes a long time. So one time, Shankaracharya, he was walking in Varanasi with his disciples. And he noticed the sound of someone reciting Sanskrit grammar, all the various rules. So he overheard that. And with his disciples, he went to that place, and he noticed a very old man, very, very old, reciting Sanskrit grammar. And out of compassion, Shankaracharya looked at this old man, and then on the spot, he composed that verse. The translation is that, you intellectual fool, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda. Your grammatical knowledge and your word jugglery will not save you at the time of death. Useless. And then he composed more verses. And all these different verses, they explain the importance of engaging in the process of self-realization, developing higher consciousness. Beautiful verses. They also explain the temporary nature of anything material, including, of course, this material body. Everything is fleeting, temporary. So what is the use getting so much absorbed in all these bodily activities, relationships, etc.? So he gave these verses. And Shankara, we can talk a little bit about Shankaracharya, that one point is, of course, we know Srila Prabhupada explained that he was a covered, in one purport Srila Prabhupada writes, he was a covered personless, although externally, of course, he was an impersonless, Shankaracharya. But he was ordered by the Lord to spread the Mayavad philosophy for a particular purpose. But from this particular verse, we can very clearly see that he instructed that old man spontaneously, out of compassion, you know, worship Govinda. Just worship Govinda. Worship Lord Krishna. And of course, the impersonalists, they have their own explanation that Shankaracharya's Param Guru was named Gaudapada, and his own spiritual master was named Govindapada. So they explain in this way. It's not that Shankaracharya instructs in this verse to worship Govinda, Lord Krishna, but rather to worship Guru, because his Guru's name was Govinda, Govindapada. But we Vaishnavas, we don't accept that explanation. And related to this whole idea of Nirvana, impersonal liberation, merging into either void, something impersonal. It is simply a myth. I would like to explain a little bit on this point. There's not a single instance or example of any monist or impersonalist attaining the stage of Nirvana. This is related to one story that Shankaracharya, he had a dream, and in that dream his Param Guru, Gaudapada, appeared, and this already happened after the demise, after passing away of his Param Guru and his own spiritual master. They both already passed away. But then Gaudapada, he appeared in his dream, and he heard from the spiritual master of Shankaracharya, they had a conversation. And in that conversation, he learned that Shankaracharya, he wrote a commentary on Gaudapada's work. And in that dream, he told Shankaracharya, "Now, I heard about your commentary and I would like to see it." So in the dream, he handed over his commentary, and Gaudapada, he was very, very much pleased. So now from this story, it's a very famous story among the followers of Shankaracharya, impersonalists. From this dream, we can very clearly conclude, now how is it possible? If you attain impersonal liberation, you merge into nirvana, then how can you appear in a dream and have conversations? How is that possible? So that in itself, just this small story, already defeats the Mayavad philosophy, concept of nirvana, impersonal liberation. Because reincarnation, that's another point, it's another story that all Mayavadis swear upon as an authentic component of their tradition, that they believe that Shankaracharya reincarnated as Vidyaranya. So again, the reincarnation, it is contrary to the concept of nirvana. If someone attains impersonal liberation, he cannot reincarnate. Not possible. Also another point, one of the most important phrases which acts as a pillar holding up the entire construction of Shankaracharya's philosophy is taken from one Vedic statement. And that Vedic statement is Ekam Eva Advitiyam. So that means what they explain, or rather interpret, as without duality. That's the interpretation, without duality. But actually, according to the Sanskrit rules, the translation should be one without a second. That's the actual meaning. And we find this in Srila Prabhupada's translations. He often used that term, one without a second. There's no one equal to Lord Krishna. No one is higher than Lord Krishna. Everybody is subordinate. So that's the proper translation of that Vedic aphorism. Ekam eva advitiyam. He's one without a second. And also ekam, this is another point, ekam, the one, the Mayavadis, they refer to the numerical one. So they explain that this one represents the nirvana. But that's also quite ironic, because how can one represent nirvana? It should be zero. So it's not easy for the Mayavadis to uphold their philosophy. There's so many fallacies. How can one represent? It has to be zero. But this is the way they always interpret. And also they always prefer to chant Om, and also very interesting explanation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the Jiva Goswami, a contemporary of Jiva Goswami, and in general the six Goswamis, they give a very interesting definition of Om. So they explain that Om, as we read in the purport, consists of three letters, A, U, and M. A, they explain, stands for A Karinochate Krishna Sarva Lokaika, Sarva Lokaika Nayakaha. And A, also in Sanskrit, and A is the Akara, the inherent letter of the alphabet. So that represents Krishna. A Karanachate Krishna. That Nayaka means leader. He is the leader of all living entities. Nitya Nityanam Chaitanya Chaitananam, that verse. Among all the eternal living beings, there's one supreme living being. And Lokaika, he is the controller, proprietor of all the planets, and naturally of everything what is on these planets. So that's the meaning of the letter A in Om. And U Karanakshate Radha. The letter U represents Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. And M represents Ma. This is Ma Karo Jiva Vakshaha, the living entities. So in other words, Om represents Lord Krishna, his energies, and the innumerable living entities. That's the meaning, the actual meaning of Om. So we don't mind chanting Om. It is a transcendental sound, but that's our understanding. It means Krishna and everything, all his qualities, his associates, the entire spiritual world, the material, everything. It is contained in that letter A, and his energies, and the innumerable living entities, everything. The perfect sound vibration. Of course, we take to the devotional practice of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So related again to that point of one must always engage in the devotional service of the Lord, with that particular verse from the fourth canto, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, he quotes a verse, very nice verse. He explains that undoubtedly, it is one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, undoubtedly it is wonderful that a Dwarka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and has enchanted the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dwarka are always seeing the soul of all living beings, Lord Krishna, in his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with his sweet smiles. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains to that verse, the heavenly planets are inhabited by the demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu. And the pious souls reach there after performance of many virtuous acts on earth. It is understood from the revealed scriptures that the duration of life There's 10,000 years. We explained that before. The three places, Prabhupada explains further, namely Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, are more important than all the famous planets within the universe. These places are perpetually sanctified because whenever the Lord descends to this earth, He enacts, He performs His transcendental pastimes in these places, specifically in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So our great fortune is beyond words. Now what Srila Prabhupada has given us, He has given us the chance to either recite here in Sri Vrindavan Dham or visit Vrindavan and engage ourselves in the pure devotional service. It is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Hare Krishna. So I would like to stop here. And are there any comments or perhaps questions? You go normally till 9 o'clock. So we have a few minutes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the next class.
Hare Krishna.
Would you please elaborate on the M in Omkara that you quote a few Sanskrit words, but would you please elaborate on the meaning of the jiva in Om?
There's not much more to elaborate on. This refers to the innumerable living entities, that Ma stands for Ma. I don't have more explanation than that. Also U, that it refers to Srimati Radharani. I don't have more reference than that. Anybody has some answer for that? Can somebody elaborate a little more on the M, that it represents the innumerable living entities? Anybody? Sorry.
I just read it.
We have, yeah.
Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there's more elaboration on it. Claim and this Om. In Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there's more description of Om and there's the description of O, U, and M.
Did somebody understand what he said? Keep closer to the mouth.
Gopal Tapani Upanishad.
Gopal?
Gopal Tapani Upanishad.
Yeah.
This Om has been described.
Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Yeah.
The same meanings, and they have been described how it refers to surrender to the jiva to Krishna. But I'm just remembering the whole thing with that, and that portion there.
Like, yeah. So that requires a little more research work. Yeah.
Great sages were given these daughters for propagation. Their son's name was this, and their names were that. And it's auspicious to hear these names. So although we may not understand how it is beneficial, we think, well, maybe I could skip over this and get to the, you know, the philosophy or something else. Why would I be reading people's names in the sound vibration? So every sound vibration in Srimad Bhagavatam is like the Om. In a sense, it's all Krishna. So it's okay to beat the mind and say, read every single word of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't skip over because we may think that the word has no significance.
Yeah, right. Because it's all connected, all related to Krishna. Anything related to Krishna is auspicious, it is purifying. So like that, in that sense, you know, we should read everything. Let's just skip over and, you know, cultivating a mood of what is important, what is not important, that is not good. This is why Srila Prabhupada just see what Srila Prabhupada did, it is amazing. He introduced that every morning one verse. He could just tell us to just read Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, I translate it, read it. But he introduced that every morning, next verse, next verse, next verse.
Word by word,
word by word, meaning Srila Prabhupada is just such a transcendental genius. He also knew, you know, our tendency to do everything very quick, skip over. He knew it. So he, in a transcendental way, he disciplined us in such a way that we are just forced to become Krishna conscious. He forced us to become Krishna conscious. The Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Mm. Yeah. Right. And any other thoughts? In the back we have something there.
Just tell something about Ramanujacharya.
Not now. We are almost at the end. There's a book being published about Ramanujacharya. So just read that book. Everything is explained there. Something related to the class? That's these transcendental cities are related to Lord Krishna's pastimes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a Chanya avatar, covered. So Mayapur is not that much, you know, mentioned in the Vedic literatures. But of course we know. We know, specifically for us, the Sridhar Mayapur is so important. Not that we immediately Vrindavan, first we have to become purified. And Sridhar Mayapur is meant specifically for purification, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, residing in the holy dham of Sridhar Mayapur. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he doesn't accept offenses. Even some of our Vaishnavacharyas, the bearers residing in Srivrindavan Dham, and then at one point they returned to Sridhar Mayapur to set the example for others. Mayapur is so important. This is why Srila Prabhupada introduced the Mayapur Vrindavan festival. We always start first in Mayapur. We pay our obeisances, worship and service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sridhar Mayapur, and then we go to Srivrindavan Dham. Any other? Yes?
Very good for us, and
we are chanting because of Prabhupada. Otherwise, in our material life, we did not know anything.
Hmm.
So, mercy of Prabhupada is always there. So, we always remember him. We chant his name. We glorify him. But whatever the instruction he is giving. Whatever the instruction he has given us, just like Bhagavatam. If whatever he has given, if we are following, and that means we are making him happy. He is happy when he sees that his children are coming back home again.
What was the last sentence?
Children's coming.
Huh?
Happy that children are coming back home, back to God.
Yes, yes, yes. Very much true. Thank you. Yeah, we cannot overemphasize the importance of Srila Prabhupada's position. Of course, we have in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have many advanced devotees. But we always have to keep Srila Prabhupada strongly in the center, in the center of all our activities. Srila Prabhupada, he is our founder, Acharya. He has given everything. The only thing we can do is trying to repeat what Srila Prabhupada has given. What he has taught, we can only repeat. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada has given everything. So I would like to stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopremanande Hari Hari.